I'm actually Simon's brother-in-law and also pastor of the Lakes Evangelical Church, so it's in those capacities that I stand before you. And I'm just going to spend some time opening up God's Word with you. But we do have kids' activity packs. This always worries me because the adults seem keener on these than the kids most of the time when they're handed out. And what does it say about my preaching? But if you've got really young kids who just can't focus, then there's one of these that you'd be welcome to pass on to them during my talk. Who have we got here represented today? Link Churches. Who we got? Wyoming? Wyoming crowd, terrific to have you. What about down Kincumber way? Good crowd from Kincumber. Okay. Bathurst. There is Bathurst. Good on you. Terrific to have you here, Rod. Who else are we? I'm actually Simon's brother-in-law and also pastor of the Lakes Evangelical Church, so it's in those capacities that I stand before you. And I'm just going to spend some time opening up God's Word with you. But we do have kids' activity packs. This always worries me because the adults seem keener on these than the kids most of the time when they're handed out. And what does it say about my preaching? But if you've got really young kids who just can't focus, then there's one of these that you'd be welcome to pass on to them during my talk. Who have we got here represented today? Link Churches. Who we got? Wyoming? Wyoming crowd, terrific to have you. What about down Kincumber way? Good crowd from Kincumber. Okay. Bathurst. There is Bathurst. Good on you. Terrific to have you here, Rod. Who else have we got? The Lakes Evangelical Church. Yeah, nice of you to make an effort to, you know, travel this far. Maitland. Yep. Okay, good on you, Maitland. And Singleton, are you, or do you include yourself in Maitland? Oh, okay. Maitland, good. Any other churches here to be represented? Yep.
Well, we're not a Link Church, but Wyong Anglican.
Oh, Wyong Anglican, fantastic. Woy-woy Anglican, okay. Islington Baptist, okay, and down New Minor. Okay, all right, so there's a whole lot of Link Churches. So, and these are people, so we come together today as a group of people, many of us linked with CMS, right, and wanting to stand behind Simon and Margie, Maddie and Noah, as they head over to Namibia, as churches, as individuals, as family and friends. Right? And as you four get on the plane in a few days' time, we want you to know that you're not alone. Right? And that is, Jesus is with you, His Spirit is with you, and so God the Father is with you, but we also will be with you in our affection, our love, in partnership, in the gospel. But what I want to ask is, how does that work? Right? How can you have partnership over that sort of distance? I typed into Google Maps. I thought, let's just check it out. Sydney, Australia to Windhoek, Namibia. And then I clicked the little button that says get directions. Right? Look what it came up with. We could not calculate directions between Sydney, New South Wales and Windhoek, Namibia. Right? It's too hard even for Google Maps to work out how to get there. How long's the air flight? How long are you going to be in transit?
17 hours.
17 hours, okay. And we're talking about over 12,000 kilometres. Right? Now, what does partnership meaningfully look like over that sort of distance? See, we want to continue to grow in love, in affection and partnership with the Gillam family, but how is that possible over that sort of distance? Well, it is possible, and Christians have maintained and flourished those partnerships ever since the time of Jesus. And that's why I've chosen to speak from Philippians, because Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church while he was in a jail in Rome, over 1,200 kilometres away. Right? And again, I looked it up on Google Maps. Let's see. So there it is, right? Philippi to Rome in Italy. Philippi in Greece, Rome in Italy. It'll take you 16 hours and 4 minutes. Right? So if you only leave 16 hours, you're going to be 4 minutes late on that journey. Now, of course, in the time of Paul, it would have taken far longer, weeks, possibly even months. And there was no phone, no SMS, no Skype, Twitter, Facebook, anything like that in the days of Paul. And he wrote the letter from in a Roman jail. And yet he speaks deeply of this meaningful partnership that he had with the church in Philippi. Right, I'll show you the first couple of verses, how he introduces his letter. Philippians 1 verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." In spite of their separation, in spite of the fact that he is locked away in a Roman prison, Paul expresses this beautiful, intimate relationship, this mutual affection, this partnership with the Philippian Christians. Or verse 7, he said, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ." It's quite beautiful, isn't it? The intimacy of relationship that is still there between Paul and the Philippians in spite of distance, in spite of being cut off by, you know, a period of months through which any sort of contact would be able to go through from one to the other. So what meaningfully does partnership look like? How does partnership express itself over that sort of distance? Well, as I've read through the book of Philippians, there's three ways in particular that partnership expresses itself. And I'll just pick up on each of them in turn. Firstly, it is in prayer. Paul constantly prays for the church in Philippi, and he recognises and calls on the Philippians to pray for him likewise. So verse 18, he says, "Yes, and I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and through the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened will turn out for my deliverance." You can see he cherished their prayers, just as I know the Gillam family cherish our prayers for them. Right, prayer is one of those things that you'll only ever do if you believe in God, right? Because no one sees you doing it. You don't get any credit for doing it. There's no glory in it. If you don't believe in God, prayer is just like talking into space or talking to a wall. And yet for the Christian, it is a powerful expression of our unity, that we have one Father who is the God of all, who loves us and cares for us and loves to listen to the requests of his children. And so prayer is a great expression of the connection that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ in spite of what can be massive distances between us. So today, as we send the Gillams out to the other side of the world, we send them out with our commitment to keep them in our prayers. We will pray for you, just as we ask that you continue to keep us in your prayers. Now, the second way we express partnership is through financial support. Right? It comes up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." Right? The Philippians backed Paul financially because they shared with Paul a commitment to see the gospel spread throughout the Mediterranean world. Right? And as we send the Gillams to Namibia, we are also committing to financially stand behind them and back their ministry. We want to see the gospel spread throughout Namibia and take deep root there. So we will financially support you in this ministry. And I'm sure there's many people here today who could help you to do that. James up the back there would love to talk to you about that, or you've got information about how you can do that in your brochure. Now, what is the third way that this partnership is expressed? you guys tell me, what are other ways that this partnership is expressed even across the distances? What have we got? Communication. Yeah, so Paul's writing a letter, and our communication is so much more instantaneous. Like Skype is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah. But that's not the one that I'm thinking of from Philippians. Yeah. Anything else? It's actually a little unusual. It's actually, Paul talks about partnership in suffering for the gospel. And it's not the sort of one that you'd naturally jump to. But you see it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. He says, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Or Philippians 4:14, he says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Right? See, the Christian life is not the easy life. Right? And especially when you are seeking to promote Jesus. Right? We live in a world that desperately, desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus. Right? People of Berkeley Vale, Central, people of Australia, people of Namibia, everyone in the world needs to hear this message desperately, and yet for many people it is the very last thing they want to hear. The last thing some people want to hear is that there is a God that you're accountable to and that he will call you to judgment one day. And so they so object to that that they don't hear the good news that we want to bring on the back of that message. And so, as we seek to promote Christ, we will suffer. We will be misunderstood. We will sometimes be hated. We will sometimes be rejected or persecuted. And that will happen here in Australia, just as it will happen in Namibia, just as it will happen anywhere throughout the world throughout the last 2,000 years, because this is the character of following Jesus, that we will suffer in his name as we seek to live lives that honour him. But there is encouragement that we do that in partnership with one another. Even across 12,000 kilometres, we share in suffering for the name of Christ. So, Simon, Margie, Maddie, Noah, we send you out today in partnership. We will pray for you. We'll financially support you, and we will suffer with you in bringing the gospel to our world. Right? But here's the problem. Here's the problem. How do we move beyond mere good intentions? Right? It's very easy. You know, you get together, a couple hundred of us. It's exciting. You sort of think, rah, rah, let's send them out. Fantastic. What about 2 years' time? How do these intentions that we have today actually translate to genuine partnership in 2 years' time? I want to say, if that partnership is going to continue, we need to love one another deeply. We need to actually be transformed by the love of Jesus. Right? We need to be transformed so that our self-centeredness that is so natural to us and so deeply ingrained in us, that actually Jesus melts that away and gives us a genuine love and affection for one another. But that is no easy thing. It's impossible on our own, actually. See, I don't know if you've noticed at the moment, but our society has an obsession with self, with me. I was looking on Oprah Winfrey's website, you know, as you do from time to time, oprah.com. And there are articles on empowering yourself, or just let me, you know, the absolute yes list, why saying no is saying yes to yourself. What else have we got? How to commit to yourself. Right? And this lead article I've got up there, it's quite staggering, really. She talks about an absolute yes list. And that is, you actually work out what are the things that I want for me. Right? And what you do is you write them down, that whole list of things I want for me, write them down, make them your guide to life. But before you sort of entrench that list, you've actually got to do something, put something at the front, right at the top. Do you know what that is? Yourself. Right? You put your own name right at the top, number one priority, me, and then all the things I want from life. I'll read you a quote. Put your self-care above anything else. Say no unless it's an absolute yes. And that is, unless it's one of those things you absolutely want for yourself, say no. Choose to spend your time and energy on things that bring you joy and make decisions based on what you want instead of what others want. Now, I picked on Oprah's website, you know, that's because that's what I was reading last week. But that's the sort of message that we're constantly hearing, isn't it? Constantly. And it's very attractive. And even though we mightn't buy in fully to that, we subtly allow our self-centeredness to take root. And we can live self-centered lives. But I want to say the character of Christianity pushes us outside of ourselves to focus on the Lord Jesus, firstly, but to love others even at the cost to ourselves. To love others even at personal cost to ourselves. And as you read Philippians 2, it's staggering the examples of that you see in action. Right? The first one is Jesus himself. Pick it up in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. There you have the ultimate example of selfless love. Right? Jesus, God the Son, gives up his position of grandeur at the right hand of the Father and comes and takes on the form of a servant, to the point where he would lay down his life and die on the cross for our salvation. Now that is selfless love. If Jesus had his yes list and he said, right, I'm at the top, there is no way we would ever have been saved. But our salvation comes through the greatest act of selfless love we've ever known. Breathtaking love. And Paul says, that should be your attitude, right? What does he say, verse 5? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That is, put your own interests aside and you actually love one another in the same sort of way that Jesus has loved you. And you see it. You see it in people like Timothy as you keep reading. Look at what he says about Timothy in verse 20. Paul says, I have no one else like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. Make it your goal to be like Timothy, so transformed by the love of Jesus that you give your life in selfless love and service to others, genuine love. Or Epaphroditus comes down a little later in the passage. Here is a man who has been on his deathbed, and yet he's still concerned for the Philippians. So much so, look at verse 29. Welcome, Paul's saying, I'm going to send Epaphroditus to you. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Well, the other example you see in Philippians is Paul himself. Chapter 1, we see the man is in prison for preaching the gospel. And if I was in prison for preaching the gospel, your prayer life would be about me being released from prison, right? Please pray that I'll... Look at what Paul says. Verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. See, as long as the gospel spreads, Paul rejoices, even if he's in chains himself. In verse 15, there are people who are preaching Christ out of rivalry, out of competitiveness towards Paul. And look at verse 18, what Paul says. He says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. And as you read chapter 2, you realize here is this guy in prison, in desperate need. But what is he doing? He's sending his two most trusty companions, Timothy and Epaphroditus. He's saying, I'm sending them to you, Philippians. Such is my love and concern for you. Now, this is radical Christianity, isn't it? It's radical Christianity, and yet I want to say this is normal Christianity at the same time. We have been called to follow Jesus Christ. He saved us through the most incredible act of selfless love ever known. And he calls on us to love one another in the same way. Jesus has called the Gillam family to serve him in Namibia. And whilst we will miss them, whilst that decision comes at great personal cost to them as a family, we ought to rejoice with them. Because we want the selfless love of Jesus to be preached and modelled throughout the world. Right? And we pray that that will happen. And we need this selfless love of Jesus to transform each one of us. Right? If we're going to continue to sustain the partnership we're committing to these guys today, we need to ask God to change us, to change our hearts by his Spirit, so we live lives of selfless love, right? So that we continue to commit to pray and financially commit and even suffer in the name of Christ in partnership with the Gillams. And that is the sort of love that won't just characterise our partnership with the Gillams, but it will characterise every aspect of our lives. So how about I lead us in prayer that that will be indeed what God does in us going forward. Let's pray. God, our Father, we want to thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for his incredible act of selfless love, that he stepped down from his position of glory at your right hand to die on the cross in service of us. And we thank you that that act of selfless love is what saves us. It's what gives us forgiveness. It gives us a future. It gives us an inheritance as your children. And Father, we pray that this selfless love of Jesus will so transform us by your Spirit that we will imitate Jesus and have the same attitude as him. We pray that this selfless love will continue to sustain a strong, affectionate, loving partnership with the Gillam family. We pray that you will fill them with the selfless love of Jesus. And we pray that as we go out from here, whether to Namibia or back to our own hometown, that you will use us to bring this great message of Jesus to those around about us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.